Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at pursuitathleticperformance.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to this new edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. As always, I'm Coach Al Lyman, once again joined by my partner here at our movement and gait analysis lab in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, Dr. Kurt Strecker. Doc, how are you doing today?
Waiting for the next snowstorm, Coach.
Oh, dude, I mean, it's, everybody out there is laughing. They're thinking like this
we
weather
we keep coming up. Yeah. Same stuff, right?
That's crazy.
Same
man.
Stuff.
Yeah,
same
it's
stuff.
Really crazy. You know, I've been really excited about getting into our podcast today. As you know, I spent this past weekend out in Colorado at Boulder and in Denver at a Training Peaks event, listening to some great folks talk about how to utilize that platform a little bit better. And it was especially valuable to hear Hunter Allen talk a little bit about digging into WKO and the future versions of WKO, which for many of our listeners out there, they know that software is really the preeminent software in terms of really analyzing power files for cyclists and really getting into the nitty-gritty about how to utilize this technology to improve our ability as cyclists. And at the same time, we've gotten a couple of questions in our listeners out there. They're listening to us. They're enjoying the podcasts. And one of the questions has to do with cycling. So I thought today is a great opportunity to delve into that topic a little bit and help that particular listener understand better the unique aspects of the bike pedal interface as it relates to the foot. And then we also had a question about running mechanics as well, which we'll get into. But overall, it was a good weekend to be out in Colorado, and once again we've got this weather bearing down on us, man. You know, it'll be mid-July, and I think our listeners will still expect us to be talking about the snow, right?
That's right. Hey, well, you were out in Colorado. You had an opportunity to meet with some of our team members out there, too, right?
How much fun was that?
Very cool.
Oh, my gosh.
I was jealous. I saw your pictures on the Facebook there.
Yeah, I mean, I had to stop for a moment and pinch myself because, as you know, and we talk about this a lot, this whole journey that we're on right now as we start to really share more of our messages with more athletes around the globe. And here I am traveling, you know, 800 or so miles west and coming into this very large city and just connecting with some folks out there that are not only just team members, but they're really advocates for our message. You know, they talk with their friends, their training partners, they're sharing the love. They have been impacted in a very profound way by the work that we do and that we've done with them. And they're now spreading that word. And of course, you know, sitting down and chatting with them and asking them how we can do better what we do and getting their feedback about their experience on our team. And then talking to them about their goals and their dreams and what they want to do. And one of them, as you know, I was talking about this morning, and she'll chuckle when she's listening to this. I ended up encouraging her to take a more vocal position within our team to begin to express some of her passions as it relates to durability and a wholeness and holistic total health kind of an approach to how we train, you know, as endurance athletes. And she's really, really excited about that, passionate about it, so much so that she was up half the night, she told me, after we had met and shared that message with me, that she was so excited. So a lot of really good, cool things coming down the road. And again, I'm, as I say, I just sort of pinch myself. you know? It's a very cool thing to have that kind of an impact on people and connect with them on that level.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. Definitely cool stuff. It's nice when they can put a real face in connection with the story, right?
Yeah.
And,
we've been
Working with Olivia for quite a while at this point, and it's really been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So let's get to the talk today. Let's get to the talk today. We'll start really with a public service announcement coming out of the questions about the foot pedal interface. People talk about, you know, when you clip your foot onto a pedal, it then has to follow, right? It doesn't get a lot of movement. Certainly with some of the pedal systems, you get a little bit of float, but that movement from inside to outside is really not, there's not a lot of movement at the ankle. And so really important to address that. If you are, particularly if you're wearing orthotics, if you know that you've got a foot issue and you're wearing orthotics, you probably ought to either have that same orthotic in your bike shoe, or you need to address the foot pedal interface from the outside, meaning into the cleat. So really important piece. This is hard to do without having a, you know, visual aids and getting technical, but you know, make sure that when you have your next bike fit that you've addressed the foot pedal interface, because the knee has to follow where the foot is going. And if there isn't the proper setup, if you don't have the proper mechanics at the foot, it can lead to a lot of problems with the knee, the hip, the foot itself. So public service announcement, check your foot pedal interface, folks, and don't forget to wear your seatbelts.
Absolutely, yeah. You know what's interesting, Doc? You know, here, of course, when we're going through an analysis, we're working in some instances with runners, sometimes field sport athletes, and sometimes cyclists, and we're looking at that interface with the foot and the foot mechanics in sort of a run type setting, and it's generally disregarded in cycling, to my amazement and to your amazement very often. We've had some elite level cyclists in here. I mean, I'm talking some pro riders, Cat 1 riders, and despite the relatively high level of athletes that they, coaches and trainers that they've had an opportunity to work with, that foot pedal interface hasn't necessarily been addressed. We talk a lot about the alignment of the hip, the knee, and the ankle, and when you're applying force to the pedal, as you alluded to a moment ago, if that pedal is moving your foot in some way that disturbs that alignment, something up that chain all the way up to the hip or even the back is going to take a beating in the process. So one more, I guess, caveat to what you said is I would ask riders out there, as you're riding your bike, if you find yourself trying to consciously move your knee close to your top tube through the pedal stroke or the reverse, if you're thinking, oh, I mean, I gotta change what I'm doing there. If you find your knee is wavering during that pedal stroke, that might be a red flag to have that looked at,
sure.
You know, to see if for one reason or another that alignment isn't as it should be. We want to make sure that that you're not stressing any tissues or parts of the body where there's absorbing more load than they really should be. And so that's one more thing to pay attention to. And I know for me, I mean, over many years working with cyclists, and you hear it all the time too, folks will say, well, you know, I know that my knee should be closer to the top tube, but I can't make it go there. It happens for a few pedal strokes. But as many times as we turn the pedals, even in a 1 hour ride, there's no way that can be controlled consciously. It has to be addressed from a biomechanical perspective.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And obviously the strength and stability from the top down as well, from the inside out. So all of those are important. But, don't overlook that. Make sure, folks, that you're taking the time to address that foot pedal interface. And, your joints and soft tissues are going to be much happier for it. And you're going to produce more power and you're going to have a happier time on your bike. So, don't let that go by the wayside.
Right. You know, the obvious benefits to durability are of course, I think very obvious, but the added bonus is you're producing more power.
Absolutely.
You know, anytime you have better muscular skeletal stacking and you have tissues not working to try to, stabilize where the bones are going, you can really place load onto that pedal or into the ground much more effectively.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, speaking of mechanics and sort of alignment, you know, it kind of leads us into our next question.
In radio, they call that a segue.
Ah, excellent. You know,
did you catch
me,
that,
man.
Folks? Segue.
I'm just a coaching geek, man. You know, I don't think about, you know, this is like the radio biz, though, right?
This is radio. We got a microphone.
Right. Give me a good radio voice, Doc. What's a good radio voice, you know?
In a world where the foot pedal interface is perfectly aligned.
How's that?
Well, I think if everybody could see the look on your face, they go, it's definitely a good radio voice. I don't know what they're thinking right now, but
whatever. Yeah. They're tuned in, right?
That's it. That's it, exactly. You know, we had someone email us and ask us if having a forward lean would improve their running efficiency. I think, like many runners, they've been exposed to chi running, perhaps to pose running as well. And some of these schools, for lack of a better word, of running technique really encourage a forward lean, as they say, to have gravity assist you in your running and therefore improve your efficiency. This is a certainly a question that I have received a lot over the years and that we talk about on a routine basis, and I certainly think it's a great topic to discuss here in our podcast, because I know that every listener out there, to a person, has heard of those schools and often thinks that maybe they should try to lean forward more as they run. And if they do that, perhaps something magical will happen, and all of a sudden they'll either be more durable or run faster. And other than the fact that I know of no way that gravity actually pulls us forward, I thought it was pushing us down. But other than that, talk about that topic for a little bit. In terms of your perceptions of how that lean could help us or not.
Certainly you don't want to lean backwards, right? You fall over on your butt, like the speed skaters in the Olympics this weekend. No, I think that people, it's kind of like a golf swing to me, right? You read about, you know, okay, you got to keep your elbow here and you got to keep your shoulder there and you got to keep all of these pieces in place, and then you got to think about your tempo, and by the time you get up to address the golf ball, you have 7,000 things going through your brain, and it becomes very challenging even just to breathe, right? And so, yeah. a lot of the times, you know, what we focus on here, right, is simplicity, right? Working back to a simpler place. So, you know, where do we start? We start with posture, right? We start with posture, and we start with posture in the beginning of the training, the restoration and foundation training. But when it comes time to work on, and I love the way you describe this, Coach, the running technique, the running form is the frosting on the cake. You have to develop all the other pieces sort of first, and then as you start to work back into running, you can then begin to build hone a running technique. There is no magic, position that you get in that's all of a sudden going to make you, a minute a mile faster, you know. And I think that, the way that you approach the technique from an inside out and then outside in, methodology makes the most sense.
Yeah, that's a great point, Doc. I mean, I think the analogy to the golf swing is a super one, because it does become so complex, and we want to break it down, because if we figure if we can make every little piece perfect, then what we get is a summation of the whole is going to be perfect. It never works that way, right? It never, ever works that way. But in our brains, we think, hey, we're smart. We can figure this out. You know, I know over the years as a coach, whenever someone came to me and they said, hey, I'm trying to lean forward, you know, take a look at, you know, see what you think.
Right.
What they're always doing is leaning usually forward from the waist.
From the waist.
And that leads to a host of problems, not the least of which is it's poor from a posture perspective and can stress any portions of the body, but it does not help their form in any way, obviously. We see their hips collapse, the hip flexors are often tight, so that pulls the trunk forward even more, reduces any of that elastic rebound we get through the swing phase of the stride. All of these things, which again are somewhat technical, but the bottom line is that's a very common thing that I see a lot, and it's not what we're looking for. And obviously, as you said earlier, we start with that posture, and then we go to developing core stability and core strength and an integration of the top half of the body and the lower half of the body. And if those things are in place from an inside out perspective, if we develop that appropriately and holistically and in an integrated fashion, then I think what happens is our lean happens largely as a function of our speed.
Right.
The faster we go, the more we tend to lead to counteract those forces that are acting on our body at progressively higher rates of speed. And I haven't mentioned the legs yet, but as you know, we often see runners who are short in terms of their calf length or limited in ankle dorsiflexion. And what we want in a forward lean, if we want it at all, is going to come from the ankles.
Right.
Right. You know, and I guess the last thing that I'll say about this, Doc, is anytime we look at one element of form and say, hey, is that going to make me better? What we're really saying is, should we all do the same thing?
Right.
I mean, in other words, it's one of those things where, let me put it another way, that didn't sound very clear. I could stand on the sideline at the Boston Marathon and watch the top 10 runners go by.
Sure.
And all 10 of them look a little bit different. They don't look all the same. Are there elements that tie them together? Certainly. But the point is how each of us ultimately develops in terms of, as you say, the frosting on the cake and the development of that, those integrated qualities that come from the inside and then manifest themselves on the outside. If we all do that and we stay true to those basics and those fundamentals and then work on that frosting in our own way, a way that is unique for us, because obviously different limb lengths, different makeup, different
Absolutely.
Bone
the
size,
shape, the shape
all
of
that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Then what we get is we get the best running style, for lack of a better word, for each of us,
right?
Based on a lot of factors. But the elements, the basic elements have to be in place. Balance in the body, front to back. If you're tight in the front, weak in the back, you can lean forward all day long, and what you're going to get is a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
hurt
you're
back.
Not going to hurt back. You're not going to run well.
Yeah.
So it comes out of balance. It comes out of developing that mobility and stability and strength from the inside out, and then allowing for our natural form to evolve, provided all those fundamentals are in place. And if that happens, then I think good things happen. And at the end of the day, it does become simpler, not more complex. Anytime we get into a technical, highly technical, complex discussion about running biomechanics and the room isn't filled with a bunch of PhD geeks,
exactly.
we got problems,
right?
At the end of the day, what each of us needs to do as a runner is nail those basics and fundamentals from the inside out and let everything else take care of itself.
Right. That's very well said.
Yeah.
That's very well said. And I think that's great. I think that's great advice. If you had one tip for runners out there, Coach, in terms of their technique, what would you say?
Well, in terms of their technique, I would say, of course, master the basics and fundamentals first and then worry about technique later. But beyond that, I think where we come back, you and I, very often, in terms of starting to explore technique, is we look at stride rate. Because very often for folks who are kind of falling apart a little bit, especially at higher rates of speed, there is often an issue with a slower stride rate, which leads to quite a bit of load on the trunk in terms of braking with every foot strike. There's more demands on the body to stabilize with every foot strike. And increasing stride rate for most runners to around 90 stride cycles a minute is a great target, I think, across the board, irrespective of individual height. You know, someone who's 6'2" or 6'3" is going to have a little bit of a difficulty getting that stride rate up. But if we can all come back to a basic sort of a place to focus in or around, it's going to be that 90 stride cycles per minute. Many runners ask, you know, how do I find that stride rate? What's the easiest way to do it? And typically what we recommend is you're running along for 30 seconds, count how many times a single foot hits the ground. You multiply that times two and you've got a very good estimate of cycle of stride rate in a minute's time. Of course, that number times two is your total amount of strides. So what we're really saying is that for most runners, you want to be at around 45 taps of a single foot in about 30 seconds of time. Some are going to find that's quite challenging. Others are going to find it's quite easy. It's not an elixir that fixes everything by any means, but it's a good place to go to when you want to start to begin to look at your form and technique. And of course, from there we can talk about some other elements like arm carriage, etc. But stride rate, I think, is a good place to go. What do you think?
I think that's a perfect place to go.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So there you have it, folks. Check your foot pedal interface and make sure your cadence is somewhere around 90. After that, it's all gravy.
Yeah. And no bending at the waist.
No bending at the waist. There you go.
Yeah, and unless you're running into a hole,
yeah, that's right.
Gravity isn't helping you. Right?
Very good.
All right.
Excellent. Great podcast. Enjoy the heck out of this day. And folks, we look forward to seeing you or hearing you on the next Pursuit Athletic Performance podcast. And we encourage you to send us an email, info@pursuitathleticperformance. Ask questions. We'll get your questions on the air. And give you the information that you want to hear, not just what we're feeling like spouting on a particular day.
All right, good stuff.
Stay happy, stay healthy, and happy training, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.